This is the Financial Coconut Podcast, Singapore's first personal finance podcast network. I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut. Every Thursday, you'll be chilling with me and my guests, who are some of the quirkiest, geekiest people we can find on the internet about how they do money and life. So sit back, relax. We are a few days away from the weekend. Welcome to Chills with TFC.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But obviously, like I said, 10 days before flying off, right? And I had no plans on coming back to Singapore. So like, I was like, oh, I'm really interested in talking to this guy. But in my mind, like, I was just convincing myself that this is purely professional networking.
Welcome to Chills with TFC, where we sit down with the geekiest, quirkiest individuals to learn more about how they do money and life. I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut, and today we have a Valentine's Day special! Woohoo! Before we go into a deep dive of budget 2023 next week, okay? So stay tuned next week, but today, we shall focus on love and money, right? Very, very interesting and complicated discussion. And I wanted to do today's episode because of Farmer Chris, a regular on our show. He is now married, right? Finally, he and his wife Cheryl, they have spent more time apart than together in the same space, are now married. But he says LDR, long distance relationship, is cheaper and better. So I wanted to know, how was their experience? How do they make it work? And how are they planning their finances in such a scenario? Note that they plan to continue this LDR for another 2 years. So it's very interesting. How do they make this work when many people fail? Find out all of that and more in today's episode. This is Chills with TFC.
So what do you do for, like, professionally?
So I work, my title is Engagement and Programs Coordinator, but my main project is running workshops for the public on like how to take climate action at the local scale. Yeah, so like basically teaching people how to, like, what they can do in their homes or like with their neighbors or with their friends. Because a lot of times, like, climate action exists at the policy level or like at the individual level, like recycling and all this, very like personal thing. Yeah. But like, how do we harness collective action? Like you and me, or like him and me, or like my friends and I, how do we take climate action, like, think of it in a collective manner rather than just an individual or like a high-level government thing that seems very distant usually.
Nice. Yeah. So why were you there in the first place?
In Canada?
Yeah. Because you were studying in Wales, right?
I was. But yeah, my intent was always to study in Canada. I ended up studying in Wales just because
Wales was a stepping stone, yes. Wales came... a stepping stone. Shout out to all you Welsh people.
Yeah.
How do you end up in Canada? You were pursuing a master's in Wales.
Well, okay. So I was always going to pursue a master's in Canada. And then when I looked up what options I had, there was this thing called the Transatlantic Forestry Master's. Literally because that, like, you take...
Transatlantic is already quite like, okay, whatever. I know, right? And then yeah, forestry. Okay, yes, please.
Yeah,
please,
I know. Thanks.
Come.
Thanks.
Yes,
yeah,
yes. Share with us. What does that work? How does that work?
So it's basically Transatlantic because you spend 1 year in Europe and 1 year in Canada.
Okay.
Literally across the Atlantic Ocean. And it's also a dual degree program. So you get a degree from Europe, in my case in Wales, and then you get a degree from Canada.
Okay.
Yeah, so I always just wanted to study in Canada, but then this option kind of came as like a buy one get one free, so I was like, well, why wow, not
Singaporean.
Exactly.
Buy one,
exactly,
get one free. Let's go
always
for
find
it.
The best,
yes,
deals, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Wales was kind of just like part and parcel of the program. It was never the plan. Just don't let my Welsh professors hear this. Yeah, you know, I love Wales.
It's a lovely place. Yes, but why has it always been Canada?
Oh, I love the outdoors. And I think, like, where I live in Canada, specifically Vancouver.
So my Richie liked that first.
No. Please, let's not.
Yeah. Share with me a little bit.
Okay, so where I live in Vancouver, in British Columbia, is like basically any outdoor lover's haven. You get the mountains, you get the sea, you get the forest. Basically, like the lifestyle there is you work 5 days a week, more realistically four. And then like every weekend you just like do a different outdoor activity. You can go kayaking, you can go hiking, camping, skiing, depends on season. But yeah, it's like, for me, it's like the dream life because I always want to spend time outdoors. But more as a hobby, not as a job. So it's like a perfect mix, you know, like you work hard and then you play hard during the weekend. Yeah.
Okay. But you did experience it before in uni. That's why you sort of like learned about it.
Yeah. Okay, so the funny thing is like since I was young, I never had a passport till I was 12. Yeah, so like Canada to me was always, everything I knew about Canada was from the books or like from my mom telling me, oh, you seem to like nature a lot. I think you'll like Canada. So it was like, I always had this idea of Canada in my mind. And like when it came to university, it was finally like my chance to like go and see it for myself. So I chose to go to Canada for my undergraduate exchange. And that was my first time really experiencing it. That kind of like cemented it in me that I'm like, yeah, this is truly where I can see myself really loving living here.
Nice.
So the next opportunity I got, because by then I was in undergrad and I was on like a MOE scholarship. So I was bonded basically, right? So I had to like, you know, finish my bond and then find.
Oh, so you're done with your bond?
I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that one very loaded. The energy is like, I'm done. I'm done, guys. MOE, thank you, but no thank you.
Well, yeah, you know, I served my bond.
I kept to my promise, right?
Enjoyed it
yeah.
while it lasted.
Yes, yeah. yes, yes. I kept to the agreement, right? Exactly. And then now I'm done. I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And to that, she used her life savings pretty much from her years of working to go and do the master. So it's not cheap, but it's like a determination to get out there.
Talking about investment, right? Yeah, yeah. Huge investment.
How much do you spend?
Oh, wow. Okay, tuition fees alone, 25K a year, so 50K.
Mm.
Yeah, then plus living expenses and all that, it was definitely at least 100K for the 2 years.
Wow.
I was overseas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. And then why you marry him?
Oh, wow.
It's like, is there a better way to say it? You're like, hey,
you invested so much, you wanted to pursue a great life, and then you choose this guy, you know, like, hey,
what's wrong with this guy?
Like, hey,
nothing wrong with this guy.
So why, for all of you that don't know, this Chris, right, he's been on the show regularly. You want to introduce a quick introduction? You don't need to talk too much. introduce yourself. Let's say like what you do now, give everybody an update.
I'm an urban farmer. I grow different things in the city. I used to do like vegetables. Now I'm doing insects.
You should plug your new insect venture.
No need lah. Mm-hmm. But just looking at sustainable ways of farming lah in the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you should give me promo code. For your crickets. Right. Then we can share with everybody like promo code on the crickets.
Next
right?
episode.
Yeah, 25% discount. Oh, yeah. Okay, we talk. Okay, nice. So how do you two meet and all that?
So I guess like, since he mentioned farming, like we first met when on the farm where he used to work at. So this was at Edible Garden City. And this was back in 2018. It was literally 10 days before I left the country for good. Yeah. So I was there like for an event with a couple of friends and I went there like half for the event, but also because like back then I had already been interested in sustainability and my first time at that farm had been when I brought my students on a learning journey. And so like my first time at the farm, I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like I've never seen an urban farm in Singapore.
Yes. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And like that big as well. Like, I was like, who would have thought we have so much land in Singapore to like dedicate to like urban farming? But I was like, okay, very cool space, you know? Like, so I like back of my mind, I always wanted to go back. So when like my friends told me like, hey, there's this event there, I want to check it out. I was like, yeah, cool, let's go. So obviously like, when I went there, I had no intentions of like meeting a guy and like falling in love. Okay, I didn't fall in love back then, like not on the spot. Questionable.
Yeah. The story will link up. Bear with us. The story will link
just
up.
Just what you say just now. You said love at first sight. Almost,
right?
Yeah.
80%.
Yeah, I think that was a narrative at the wedding, right? Whoa, but please continue. Yes.
Okay, so the story at the wedding, same story, right? So back then he was general manager. So like he went up to do the welcome speech. Yeah, and then like as he went up, there was this like aura of mysteriousness and enigma around him.
I can't, I'm sorry.
See, this is why I said at the wedding.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I was just very bored up.
So that's my perspective versus his perspective, right? That is a way of saying jadedness.
That's a very sexy way of saying jadedness, you know.
I'm done.
You know, like he was ready to quit in 2 months or something.
No, okay.
He went back to EGC recently.
Yes, and then?
Yeah, so I just found like there was this some magnetic pull about him that made me want to talk to him. But obviously, like I said, 10 days before flying off, right, and I had no plans on coming back to Singapore. Mm. So like I was like, oh, I'm really interested in talking to this guy. But in my mind, like I was just convincing myself that this is purely professional networking.
Professional networking,
exactly.
Yes.
Keeping everything very professional and clean.
But what about your perspective then?
It felt that way. It felt that way as well.
Because she introduced herself,
and we spoke about what we both do, and it was very much professional. It was like, oh, you know, this like climate change thing, but with a hint of like enthusiasm, like we both. In her eyes, there was like this like glimmer in her eyes, like you know that made me somehow very interested in her. Yeah,
because you lost it for a while already. Oh, corporate too jaded, too tired. Is it?
No, it's not that. But it's just like, so she talked about what she enjoyed. Like she enjoyed nature. And I was like, wow, okay, that's really nice. Like me too. Because she came to the farm before. So I was like, okay, she has an interest in farming. And she spoke well about her experience in the farm. So I was like, wow, okay, you appreciate what I've been up to. And then she also, had some common friends and she had done like nature school. And so different activities that resonated with me. So like internally, I felt like this someone who has shared values with me. I wasn't thinking far ahead at the point of time, but it was just like, oh, cool. Like I really enjoy speaking to this person. And then after she walked around, I mean, the conversation paused, then just suddenly hit me like, oh, this person, like I want to get to know her better. Like she has this great energy and I really enjoy talking to her, but damn, she's leaving soon. So, and more part of my brain, I was like, okay, like she's leaving. So, you know, let's kill this idea of any potential feelings, maybe let it go. But still, I kind of want to talk to her and get to know her better. So that's how I approached her after that initial conversation, still in the space. Before she left, I was like some dramatic movie. I'm like,
don't go.
Don't go, but you know, like, and we kept in contact and things blossomed from there. Like we didn't really expect anything much from it. So I kept a lot of my feelings to myself and sort of told her like, just go enjoy your uni and we'll see how it goes. Like, yeah. Very passive kind of.
Yeah. But honestly, that was, I think, one of the biggest things that like finally changed my heart and like wanted to commit to it. Cause I realized like it takes a lot for someone who is that invested in us being together to be able to take that step back and say, yes, I am very invested, but more important than that, I want you to be able to go and do your thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so that move
gave
worked.
Me that space. Yeah. I don't think it was like a move. Okay. But
you guys from the time you met to the time you flew, it was like 2 weeks, pretty much.
Less than that.
10 days. And then in that 10 days, you decided that you're going to try this out. Is that the idea?
No.
Okay.
It was really like, all right, you go do your thing. And it was and is nice knowing you. And just enjoy your time.
Kind of like, we'll see how it goes. We'll stay in touch as friends, you know.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
But there was no expectation or commitment at that point.
Okay. How do you became like, okay, we're going to do this seriously. I was going to call you twice a day. You know? Yeah, we went panel boarding and I was like, after we were done, then Chris was like, oh yeah, talking to Sharon. I was like, huh? aren't we like just finished sports? It's like, yeah, I do this twice a day. I was like, oh, this is very serious, huh? Yeah. So
initially, actually I'm quite an introvert and it was quite awkward at the start. Like I wasn't comfortable with this whole like having conversations and so often as well. So I even had to like write a script before talking to her in the initial days when she was in Wales. Like random bullet points to generate conversation. And
do you have a Notion document or something?
No, it's like scribbles on paper. I was almost sweating. And
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, I remember our first few conversations, like, I could always sense like he was trying to end the conversation as quickly as possible. He's like, oh, okay, bedtime, bye. I think I gotta go. I think you gotta go. I'm like, no, I don't have to go there. But
Yeah. It's like, you know, guys, I don't know, maybe we just don't communicate so much about our day or our feelings and whatnot. So it's a bit awkward at the start. Mm. But yeah, it was just, I don't know, it just happened very organically. And after a while, we enjoyed the conversations. It was a lot of updates, like what's happening with a new environment and everything. Yeah, I think end of the day, it was still that same values that brought us closer. We always talked about this, like climate change and saving the world, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that was the core of the relationship, I think.
Yeah. I think one thing that's also like pretty understated in relationships that you just brought up that I just thought of is talking about your day, right? Mm. Like it seems like a very menial, meaningless to some extent kind of thing to do. Like talking
about
But
that's about all there like, that
is in LDR. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless there's more you want to share, but it's okay. Yes, please tell.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think like it's something that is really undermined, but that helped us to grow closer. Because like being so far apart, right, obviously like it's hard to imagine what the other person's going through like halfway across the world. But even just like, you know, hearing about like how his day on the farm went, or like for him hearing like how my day at school went, the most boring things ever, like that in an... I think like if we were in the same country together, like hearing about each other's days, we would be like, okay, I'm done. Like that's really boring. Yeah, but somehow like, in an LDR, like that is one of the one of the easiest and yet most underrated ways to like stay close. Communication, I guess, is the one word summary.
Nice. Yeah. How long has it been? I mean, you guys just got married, and how many times have you actually been together physically? Like how many days together? Because you were studying, yeah, and all that.
Well, you're better at the math.
Well, quick math.
Cumulatively, yes.
Cumulatively, less than a year for sure. Barely 6-7 months, I would say, out of 4 years. Mm. Yeah.
And you're certain about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And why? Like why?
What makes us certain?
Because I think a lot of people will assume that LDRs are like really difficult and like not possible. I think difficult is already giving it a lot of slack. A lot of people will assume that LDR is not possible.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted to do today's episode because when I was hanging out with Chris the other day, he was like, LDR very good one, cheap and good. I was like, huh? LDR is cheap and good, like, huh? So I was like, you come in, we're gonna talk about this, right? So maybe with cheap, I think is a little bit easier to understand because there's no like weekend days, no random splurging, or maybe we can talk a little bit about like how you spend on each other during these few years, you know. But maybe we start with the better or the good, like
what's good.
What's so good about LDR? Relative to how other people will build a relationship.
So just a bit of context on both of our personalities. Mm-hmm. We both like adventure. In terms of like doing outdoor stuff, high adrenaline, like life at risk kind of adventure sports. The second thing is we like travel as well. And both of us have done our solo backpacking before. So we do like spurts of experiences, often unplanned in a new environment. So this LDR enables us to experience that. So we have a minimum one trip a year where we either, usually we go to a country that we've never been before and do something adventurous. So having that one thing a year to look forward to makes it really, really fun. And then on average, we travel twice a year. So the other time is visiting each other. Either like she comes back to Singapore, I go to Vancouver. It's a bit more toned down, like more day to day, a bit less adventure, but having like two milestones a year to look forward to, somehow works for our personality versus like a monotonous, like, okay, every day, every weekend, we're going to go out and sort of do the same thing ish. That's a bit more boring.
Can you elaborate a little bit more in that sense of like, okay, there's that this whole like big event that you look forward to twice a year, let's say something like that, right? Mm. Why can't you recreate that in the IRL relationship?
We've never tried recreating that because we haven't spent enough time, but...
No, it's like with your other relationships, you know, or something, did it not work that way? Personal experience. Like, is it because physically when people are dating together, then it becomes, like, it naturally becomes mundane. Is that the idea? Like, there's nothing to look forward to. It's not, there's no, like, there's no festivity anymore. It's like,
yeah, I think so. I think that has happened to me before. Yeah. And just the nature of Singapore is a bit harder to...
Where's the nature in Singapore?
No,
So
the convenience factor is a big part. So let's say in Vancouver, it's like 20, 30 minutes. You can drive out to the nearest mountain and you have access to a lot of mountain ranges from there. Even skiing, 30-minute drive, you can get to that place already.
Yeah, 5-minute drive, latest mall.
Exactly.
Nearest mall, 5-minute drive.
Yeah, yes. But if we wanted to do a hike in a nice mountain, we have to take a plane to Thailand or Indonesia. It's just not as easy to do on a regular basis. So in real life, if we were living in Vancouver, we would have this adventure spurt that we can still access quite easily compared to Singapore. So that's one thing.
But then you will lose that like big event twice a year.
We might lose that. So we, this is something we just recently
spoke about. This, right?
Like, yeah. So I think we aim to still maintain that.
So you're gonna live in Toronto in that sense.
I'm gonna maintain this, huh? So I'm gonna live on the other side of the land, right?
Nepal.
That's Nepal. Fly out also headache. Right? Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, but no, we did say like, okay, what do we feel? We do feel monotony and we mm-hmm. feel the mundane. So we have to remember that we should do something like that, like plan one big trip a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So for someone that is like thinking about like LDR, you know, like they may be very afraid, right? Like generally LDR, low success rate one, generally, right? That's why you're in the studio, right? You have to talk about it. How to increase success rate of LDR, right? How to make it better, right? And such that it is a great way forward.
I think, well, yeah. So like my answer kind of half addresses the previous question and half addresses this as well. But like being independent to a pretty large extent as well in a relationship is an important one. So like personality wise also, like on top of both of us really enjoying adventure and nature, I think we also are pretty independent in the sense that we lead independent lives even though we are together in a relationship. And when we are in the relationship, we are very much like a unit. But at the same time, like I have my own career and my own hobbies and he has his own career and hobbies as well. And we're okay with that. That just helps the LDR to be a lot more secure because we don't have to worry about like being dependent and like, you know, let's say like he's living his own life and I'm not okay with that. I'm always like wondering, oh, what's he doing? Like, where is he? Why am I not there? That generally tends to lead to like, you know, more feelings of insecurity or like lack of trust. But like, we don't have those issues, I think, because yeah, we both are just very independent people. Mm. So to answer your question, you know, on like, you know, how then to make an LDR work.
Yes.
Yeah, I think like it sounds very cliche, but like one of the greatest bases of it would just be trust, you know, like being able to let your partner go and like do their thing, right? The way he let me do my thing when I first moved to Wales in Canada.
But is that how it starts? Okay, like it is very bad, but let's say I have a new hire, right? I have a new hire in a company. Very bad example, right? But it's easier for more people to understand, right? I have a new hire in a company, right? And then it's new, right? So I got to take some time to build the trust with the person and all that back and forth. Eventually, I feel so much trust and then it's like, yeah, you do lah. It's okay, man, right? It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You can do your own thing, right? So how do you do that in the start when you don't even have a lot of time to then build that trust to begin with, you know? Like you don't have a lot of together time before you embark on this.
Yeah.
We, at the very, very early first 4 months or so, I somehow had this gut feeling that that should be the one. She wasn't so sure. Like she needed some time to test it out. Mm. So I went over to Wales.
Yes, good choice.
Because I'm a lot more impulsive and but also quite intuitive. So I went over to Wales and we did our first trip.
Oh, that's kind of
sorry,
cool.
We did Germany, Europe lah. Short trip in Europe, including Wales. And that was the first warm-up testing lah. And from that experience that we sort of got to have a feel of each other's personalities and beliefs and all that lah. So then from there we did a review.
Review.
Like, how do you? Yeah.
AAR.
After actual review. I'm very serious. Yes.
We do a lot of these reflections after each trip or each milestone, and we often in these reflections we always ask worst case scenarios, like what if one day we have to break up or something like that, you know. And then because we ask these questions as well, and we address them, like everything else is, we accept the worst case scenario and then everything else is a bonus. So it's quite, I guess, a mature way of looking at it. Yeah.
Mm. Nice. So you feel like there's some prerequisite to having a successful LDR. Like you must be independent, you must be matured, you must reach a certain phase of life when you're not like shopping and really just kind of like more focused on finding a partner. Is there some of these prerequisites that makes an LDR easier?
I think, yeah, everything that you said plus perhaps more importantly also complementarity between the two of you. Because if you are vastly different in personalities, like let's say you have one partner who is very happy being independent and the other partner is like very dependent, I don't think that's going to work as well in an LDR, because then there's just a greater likelihood of tension being created because like, you know, one of them is just like, oh, where are you when I need you? And then the other person is like, la la la, I'm just happy living my life. And
both are dependent. Where are you? Oh yeah, where are you? Oh yeah, where are you? Oh yeah, where are you? It's like the tension works in that sense, right?
Yeah. You know, like a good balance, I think, like you.
Like I know that in all her free time, she'll either find new friends to go hiking with or something, or she will find something to do and it'll be very happening, very, very active. Then whenever she's like, oh, let's talk, like okay, then she wants that companionship. So it's like quite chill for me. It's like okay, very low maintenance.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since you guys, like, I like that you review, you know, and talk about things, talk about your life. Do y'all also talk about your finances? Like, do you, like, kind of cross-check each other's, like, values, you know, when it comes to money, your financial beliefs, how you do money? And is it important in your decision to come together?
Me?
Oh. Answer is yes, okay? We are on the financial podcast. But yes, you can share your perspective, yes.
Yeah, okay, the honest answer is not as much, but the answer for the show is yes. Of course, okay. We talk
yeah,
about
yeah, very
finances.
Good. Yeah, now you can give your answer.
You see my face and blank. Yeah,
in the pre-prep questions. I thought please share.
I think okay, so more recently definitely, because it's been easy to not have to think about finances when we were in the LDR, because like I was, you know, handling my own and he was handling his own, right?
Yeah.
But obviously now that we are eventually going to live together, then yeah, we've started talking about like, oh, this is how much we can like set aside for a car, how much we can set aside for a house, and what are we going to do until we achieve those financial goals, like, you know, get enough money to put down, like make these big purchases that we want to do as a couple. In terms of like managing finances together, we haven't, other than like, you know, having to plan finances together, like for holidays, no, we haven't. But like for the purposes of like, you know, making these like big commitment purchases, like our plan is to like set aside a pool of money to that, you know, like this pool of money is going to go to like getting a house or an apartment by a certain time, and that pool of money is, you know, like for retirement, something like that.
And you're gonna try to establish a life in Canada, not here. Why?
Because that's where the mountains are calling.
Okay, fair. But then you already have a residency status.
Yeah,
but you don't.
I don't.
Right, so you are going through that process, right? Can you just kind of help us, our listeners? Maybe they all also want to migrate to the mountains, you know?
Oh, yeah, let's go. Yeah, okay.
Live in the ridges, you know, do your thing.
Yeah, so you know, people are joking when you're like, want to go to another country, going to marry the person from that country.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Similar last.
Green carding his way in.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get a dependent permanent residency or like a spousal.
Yeah.
PR. Nice.
Just fill out a bunch of forms and then we wait for a couple of years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. Love the equality there. It's great. It's good stuff. No, yeah. But you were talking about like LDR is cheaper, right? Like it's cheaper, it's better, right? Is it really cheaper? Because it sounds like you guys do like huge trips, you know? Like, I don't know if like cumulative cafe hopping and movie over the month's gonna end up to be more than like a trip to Europe every other year, you know? Or every year to be exact, right?
Yeah, okay. But so you compare with a normal couple, right? Usually they also go and do one big holiday a year.
Okay.
Usually, yeah. Mm. So I would say it's very comparable to a normal couple in that sense. And then the second trip is usually one of us visiting each other's home countries. So accommodation is usually paid for. Regular expenses are usually paid for. So there's still, sometimes we do short road trips and all. So let's just give a very agar figure of about $2,000 additional combined for that one additional trip compared to a normal couple. So that's a $2,000 expenses. Now, the amount of savings we roughly do throughout the whole year, because we don't need to meet every weekend or every day. Let's just do a ballpark, right? You go for a couple of meals, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, let's say 3-4 meals together. You do about 2 activities. So let's just say a month, you spend about $1,000 per person. So over the course of about 11 months, you spend about $11,000. $11,000 minus $2,000 is about maybe $9,000 savings compared to a regular couple that's living in person. But then this, of course, you, the time that you spend with your partner, if you don't have that, you probably spend it with your other friends lah. So it's not like you're saving that $9,000 lah. You're probably,
your $9,000 get diverted into friends.
Exactly.
Have you consulted?
No, is it okay?
Is it approved? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So technically it's not cheaper.
It is.
When you observe it from that view, it's cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, we generally live quite a lo-fi budget lifestyles. Mm-hmm. Like for myself, I do a lot of nature-y activities. I don't go out to fancy restaurants to eat so much.
Yeah, it's okay. You forage your own muscles.
Exactly.
It's damn cool. We tried it. I was like, oh, it's so fun.
You went with him.
Yeah, so we foraged the muscles. Like, oh my God, it's amazing. It tastes really good. Yeah. I don't need to say where. It's a secret spot. Right? It's like, oh, have you already made your program and shared with everybody?
Secret spot.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, I think like a lot of the activities we do technically are almost free. Like you, like hiking, right? You don't have to pay to go walk in a forest. Yeah, maybe you pay for the transport to get there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you pay for like the food you eat after the hike, but like the hike itself is technically free. So that helps a lot. And yeah, I think generally, okay, like, I'm quite low budget. And then that means that like together when we spend, like sometimes I just go a bit cheaper than we would expect off of like a normal date. So
then your financial ideas are pretty aligned, right? In that sense. In that sense, the way you live life, the way you...
Yeah.
We are both very budget and we feel we are a lot more functional what we do, both in eating, you know, we don't have to get the best. Occasionally, I do like to treat myself, like go farmer's market and buy an amazing pumpkin or something. But as a general rule, we believe in functionality first, fulfilling the basic needs first, and then everything else is a bonus. Like now we want to save for a house, so okay. We just keep it very, very lo-fi and basic.
I think the other thing that we are aligned on is that we believe in paying more for experiences rather than like tangible material goods. So like, you know, we would pay to like go climb at a gym, let's say, like indoors in Singapore. Or we would pay for like a skiing pass. Like in my case, like, I've paid for like a season pass for the whole season. In Canada. In Singapore?
Yes, yeah.
Please let me know.
Snow City ramp up three levels or something.
Wait, there's a new one in Orchard, right? The ski surf something. The triple.
Really?
There's a new building plan in
Orchard. That's a big sigh. It's just not the same. Which is true, right?
I don't know if it's even real snow or like one of those brushes, mechanical brush skiing.
Now we can ask them. Okay. But have you tried dating people that have a different money idea or like broad money narratives that are like different from you? They have a very different way of looking at budgeting, spending.
I was with someone before who was, I wouldn't say like spendthrift, not like crazy, but I mean, it's more okay with the idea of let's hang out on the weekend, go have a few nice meals. And you know, being from the industry, like I know what it costs, let's say to go to cook a brunch. Like
you know all the margins.
Scrambled eggs, whatever. Yeah. Maybe it might cost me like $1, $2 max. But then we're paying like $30 for this scrambled egg thing, right? Mm-hmm. So my heart bleeds every time we do that.
I know. I feel that bleed also. Yes, I go for tea. It's like, huh? Tea? Walao, wait. This thing, I import in how much?
It's nobody's fault, but when it happens regularly, it just like it just chips off my soul.
So occupation hazard, lah.
It is occupation hazard. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So was that an important factor in the relationship not working out? Like having a very different view of money.
It does contribute, I would say, as part of the values slightly misalignment. Because if I'm more about being basic and saving, and the other person's more like, no, I just want to enjoy myself, it can create some pressure, lah. Yeah.
Okay. So there's no way to reconcile it, or has there not been any?
I'm sure, but I never really like bring it up lah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I mean, it's a fair point, right? Let's say this person works really hard and has a pretty good salary that can afford this person to buy these things. But especially back then, I was earning really little as a farmer. And for guys, I think there's a certain emotional confidence that you need that comes with earning, being able to provide. And if you don't have that ability or confidence, you will not feel confident about yourself. And so if you keep having to spend money without you having that stable base, it does affect the confidence level, which in the end will affect the relationship. Yeah. So I think at the point where we met, also it was just at a tipping point in my career.
I
felt that confidence in myself, and it was also a slightly upward trajectory from that point onwards. Opportunities that happened for me, it was quite positive. Yeah, so I like in a way things align like quite well.
Nice. And for you,
off the top of my head, no, because I screen well.
Very efficient. Right? Screening process failed, man. Very efficient. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I can think of maybe a couple of examples. Like, they were never really serious relationships, but just that like, we went on dates where, like, yeah, he was clearly willing to spend a lot more than I was. And I think one of the main things that became like a point of tension was like, he would be like, okay, yeah, sure, you can't afford it. How about I pay for you? But then I didn't want to be stuck in a relationship that ended up with me being financially dependent on someone, right? Because like emotionally, that just isn't great, I feel. Like to not be able to afford your own relationship.
Help me understand more.
Okay, so let's say we go to like a fancy restaurant, right? Where it's like, you know, like $80 per person. And I'm like, well, I usually spend like 10 a person.
I get that part. It's more like the, why do you feel like that? It's like, why does he feel that, you know, like it chips into his like, oh, like manhood kind of thing on some right, level, right? Right. So those are complex social ideas, right? So like, why do you as a woman, right, which yeah, on some level, right, has social privilege on like, dating means guys must treat, right? Like, although I don't agree with that, okay? Yeah. But I don't agree with that. But that is the social narrative to date, even though we talk about equality, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But why do you feel that way? I think that's the interesting part.
I think it's like an idea that in a relationship, there has to be some sort of, not necessarily equality, but just equity, right? Like where each of you has to contribute a certain amount that leads to like a balance in a relationship. And I just find that if like one person's always paying for the other person, that doesn't sound very equitable to me. And yes, like, you know, maybe the first few times it's okay, but what if at some point down the road, he feels like I'm being a burden or I'm being a liability because like I can't even provide for myself, then I think that is an issue. It's one of like a very touchy, but
that's why we talk about it.
Yeah.
If it's so dull, then there's nothing to talk about, right? Yes.
Yeah, but like an underlying current that you need to address, you know, earlier rather than later.
So have you gone past that current, or is it now because your relationship is more similar, then there's no more of this current? Like it doesn't, you have not gone past it, but it doesn't matter already. You know what I mean?
Because I think for me it's like prevention is better than cure. Right. So like, don't even allow it to happen in the first place.
Yeah, rather than MOH scholar. Not MOE, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think for us, like, we have similar ideas of like how to spend money, I guess. Yeah, I don't feel like either of us is providing for the other person because that can become pretty unhealthy, I think.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And
interesting.
It's like there's a general consensus of support, like, okay, we know that this is a goal, this is roughly how much we need, but if you're earning more due to your current opportunities, if I'm earning more, I'm okay to provide more and vice versa. But then if I'm going to go through a rough patch, which I like at one point I did tell her like, okay, I'm going to do this. My salary is going to suck, but it's good for the CV. I shall not say what job it was.
I think I know which one.
Yes. It's good for the CV. Yes. It will give me like great opportunities in the future. Yes, yes. Then she's like, yeah, cool. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. Like, I'll support you. Yeah, basically we're a team. So when one is high and one is low, the high one will be able to cover. So it's that emotional knowledge that we are there for each other. And also when we go traveling as well, it's a very, the word is organic again, but you know, we don't count like who's paying for what. Mm-mm. So we just pay when we feel like it, when it's convenient, who has a wallet, who is like, yeah, then it just works. It's like very relaxed that way. We don't need to do our accounts at the end of the trip and do the nitty gritty. So
was this part of the AAR? Like was this discussed, or was this just like naturally we just went in like that? Like you pay the air tickets, I'll pay Airbnb, blah blah blah, and then just kind of move. Or was this piece, you know, of this like way of doing things?
We did discuss. I mean, it did happen, and then at some point we also did say like, you know, are you comfortable doing this? Like, You sure I can pay more? Then we went deeper into this conversation.
Mm. Yeah, I think it was like half of it was kind of like it naturally flowed into this because we realized that it's just like our style. Like I realized that he really hates doing accounts. I remember the first trip we did when I really went like hard on the accounts out because I like to be very precise about numbers, right? So like I had this like budget where like, okay, this is how much he spent on Airbnb, this is how much he spent on like transport, blah, 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 blah. Mm. And it like just knocked the living daylights out of him with like the numbers. He was just like, I hate this.
To be fair, I started a spreadsheet, I think.
That's true, yeah. But then I started becoming very precise with numbers, like down to the cents.
Yeah, for some reasons, like, hey, this receipt, don't tell you.
We're not here to balance.
This line item and what you wrote in Excel, don't tell you.
Yeah, I literally say that. He got so stressed, but I was like, okay, this is
not
the way to do it.
We balance account,
man. My accountant just texted me. I thought it was just enjoy ourselves now. I was checking
the credit card statement, checking the Excel sheet. I was like, hey, don't match it.
Then do you have the receipt? A copy of the receipt. Then I take out my wallet, like all crumpled receipts. Like, why I want to keep the receipt after the trip? That kind of thing.
Yeah, so that also, like, I guess, made us realize that that's not the style to do it.
Yeah.
After that, two of us. Whatever.
Yeah, just so then we became a little bit more tinsel.
Take my credit card and then...
So as long as you're at peace with both of how you do it, right? Like as one entity, both of you are at peace with it. That's the sweet spot, right? It's not about like what way is better than another way. You know, it's just both of you must subscribe to that, the way you're managing it, right? I think that's the idea. But it cannot be so smooth right from the get-go, right? So it's like there must be some friction. You must get to this piece, you know. Like even that was like a phenomenon, right? Like that was an experience in itself. So, and I always hear this from financial experts. Oh, you got to communicate. It's like, duh. I know you got to communicate, right? Like, oh, you must talk to your spouse. You must talk to your partner. Blah blah blah. I understand, but Give me some real life example. Like, how do you communicate? You know, like these kind, some things can get very touchy, right? Like I don't know if you're going to start. So just kind of want to know, like, how do you communicate like this money thing such that you both come to a peaceful position? You can include wedding, no, everything, usually, auto inside, usually, and many experiences.
Usually there might be some concern, like she wants to buy a car or something. Mm. And then from
no choice, bro, is Canada.
Right. Not Tampines. Gotta reach the mountains.
Reach the mountains. Yes.
That's where we come together and make a decision or just talk about it, the concern, and see what's possible or not.
So do you have some tips on like the talk? How do you broach the topic? How do you establish this point to talk? Like, I mean, if you haven't thought through, it's okay, but I just want to ask for some.
I don't know. Honestly, for us, it's very natural because we talk about...
Because you're very organic.
Everything.
Right?
Everything's organic. Natural, organic. Yes, exactly. To answer that question, you got to like go one layer deeper, right? And talk about like how a relationship works in the first place.
Yes.
And I think like one of the main reasons is we really talk about everything. Yeah, we don't have anything to hide from each other. So because of that, it makes these conversations that are usually difficult a lot easier. Like if I'm concerned, let's say like our wedding, right? You want examples? Like our wedding, like at some point, like I got concerned that paying too much for the dinner. I was like, do we really need that like fancy venue? Like, you know, we both are very low budget.
Right. It was quite pricey, but then I had to convince her that the likelihood of recuperating that, because the people attending the wedding would are quite generous lah, with the angpaos.
Yeah.
So it's like more or less it will be 100% confirmed that we'll cover the cost.
Mm.
So then, yeah.
Can you give us some color, like how much you spend in the wedding? And
The restaurant one was about 110 per pax.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So, sounds more recoupable.
Yeah.
But I mean, then, but we're not saying you should like get wedding as a like investment strategy. Right? Man, you know, people talk about that, right? And then there's like a whole list.
Wedding,
there's a whole list online saying, oh, this, how many star you gotta go where, how much, what's the price point, and all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then our Farminival wedding was
so cute.
Yeah,
so cute.
It was a lot more low cost. We were sponsored the space and overall because we told our friends that, because it's like people could contribute. That was the idea we had. Because we wanted our friends to participate. I thought it was fun lah. So they contributed in actions. They did stuff for us, with us together, and so we said, you know, you can contribute in kind instead of having to pay like ridiculous money, which is how we always feel when we attend other people's banquets. Like, wow, are you good?
$300 for this. I read the list. I was like, huh? Why are you here?
Food like, also always not that good.
Food also not nice. Right. Sorry.
So we had
Don't flame me. So, I run a financial podcast for a reason, okay? Control yourself, yeah?
So we had this idea of, why don't we make the wedding more friendly? We don't want people to feel like they are overburdened to come to the wedding. That's how we feel when sometimes you go to friends' weddings. So we want to drop the price. Well, sounds very businessman, like
drop the price
so that it's comfortable, and then people can pay in kind, and then it's more equitable and more fun. Mm. And so we managed to do that. So it didn't fully cover the cost from the ang paos, but from the other wedding, it managed to cover. So net, happy days.
Nice. Yeah, I remember like, at first was a bit quite stressful, right?
Yeah.
For people that are still kind of on the fence on like, you know, should you pursue an LDR or should you kind of like go with it, right? Like any advice, any, no need to be money, it can be broad.
My first thought is it's not as hard as you think, because I feel like the one barrier that most people have mentally is just that, oh, it's impossible, let's not even bother. But like, I would say that this LDR has been unexpectedly smooth and easy, and it has been consistently this way for the entire 4 years that we have been in it. It's not like, you know, oh, we had a honeymoon period for 1 year and then it got hard. It never got worse. It was just like this easy for the whole time. And it worked out so well for both of us. They always surprises my friends. They were like, oh, I would never even have considered. Like, exactly. I wouldn't even let it start, right? But you let it go for like 4 years and you're still going.
And then you end already. Confirm already. It's no longer LDR already. It's like, already sung an now, you know, we confirm this thing.
Yeah. So I would say like, you know, keep your mind open. Yeah. Like if your heart calls, then answer it.
Wow. Okay. So yeah. Amazing, lovely. Thanks for sharing.
Stay tuned all the way after this quick note for our personal money question segment. Before that, I hope you've learned something useful today. Join our Telegram group, follow us on our socials, and check out thefinancialcoconut.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so we have last three questions that we usually ask everybody. I mean, you can take it together. And we take it together, like you're a couple, right? So,
I think our answers were individual.
Yeah, it's independent.
Well, our answers were individual.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So then we do it one by one. Okay, so Chris first. First question is, what has been your best and worst investment you've ever made?
FTX.
I use FTX as an exchange for other crypto. And so then
new me, start again.
Exactly. And then I also asked her to put some money in it because I thought it was a good thing. Then she got really pissed. Really pissed.
As you should. Yeah, but.
So it's both the best and the worst, because worst for obvious reasons, right? We lost everything. But best because I have not really been actually doing my homework when I'm investing. I just felt like I've been winging it all the time with whatever I've been investing in. And so far, I got lucky for the last few years, but totally just very superficial. Like, I see the graph looks like it's going up. Okay. So not great advice for anybody out there, but this has made me more prudent and taught me a lesson. Be burnt before I can be more discerning. So I'm going to be more pragmatic and more discerning in where I put my money.
Nice, nice. Yeah. That's why I never ask you an investment question. What is one thing under $100 that has been a game changer for you?
Okay, so...
Bring the prop.
Yes.
Okay. This is a drill. You can use as a screwdriver as well. This costs like $96. With this, I've built a lot of things. I've repaired a lot of things that would have otherwise spent a lot of money, you know, fixing. I actually like tear down a lot of material. Like people throw away bed frames or something. I tear it down and recycle the wood to build other things. So,
I've seen those. I was like, oh my God, it's so cool. Right, guy built his own standing table, you know, the rack outside. Everything is like, nice.
So
nice.
Part of living a self-sufficient lifestyle, yeah.
Great. Okay, last one. One place you learn that you think is underrated. It can be a particular book, a website you read, a YouTube channel, a podcast, anything.
So it's none of the above, but it's more, going for a backpacking trip, spending the money to buy a one-way ticket to go on backpacking. I think it's really, really life-changing. We are so burdened by the expectations of people. And when you go backpacking, that's the only time, or that's maybe one of the first times that you're allowed to look inward and experience and make decisions wholly by your intuition. And it's also a time where you're able to take risks and absorb the whole craziness of what's around you, both the good and the bad, like facing emotions like fear, uncertainty, disappointment, as well as the amazing emotions and amazing experiences. So it can be very affordable. Backpacking can be, depending on where you go, you can hitchhike. There are ways to do it that's affordable and ways to do it that's less. But for me, that was a real life changer. Better than maybe even watching a podcast or, oops, not to say that this is, you shouldn't. But.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Clarification approved. Yes.
Yeah, you're like learning on the job, essentially.
I get it. Nice. Fellow backpackers here. So oh, yes, yeah. Very good. Yeah. Even deciding whether you turn left or turn right is a learning lesson in itself, right? You look at the street, it's like, why do I take this street and not that street? Right. There's so much to learn, right? But yeah.
Yeah, or like the people you talk to and who you agree to like go on like an adventure with. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you go
the strangers
to the,
you meet.
Exactly. You go to the backpacker like hostel. And then you're there and then you'll be like, I eat alone for many days already, you know, but I want to eat something a little bit like more like communal, right? Yeah. And I can't do it on my own. And I'm like, hey, you want to go?
Yeah.
Brum. And then all the stories start coming.
Yeah, right? You do like life salesman training.
Yeah, you know, I heard downstairs there's this thing. It's amazing, you know. Yeah. I was like, you want to go together? I was like, okay. Right, close. Exactly. Yeah, Cheryl, your turn. Three questions. The first is, what has been your best and worst investment you've ever made?
The best investment for me is definitely my master's. Yeah, because I think like I was not just buying a degree. Mm. I was buying a life, essentially, and the life that I had always dreamed of. It was basically my gateway into living in Vancouver and living in Canada. I didn't even realize how much of a dream it had been until I was really living it. I was like, wow, this is truly a dream come true. Mm. Yeah, so very expensive, obviously, like you say, like basically almost all my life savings on it, right? So a huge risk, for sure. And that came with a lot of uncertainty. Obviously, it did not help that like a lot of my friends were like, are you sure about this? What's the point of getting a master's? Like, so far in Canada, you know how far away we are, 17 hours, nice. Things like that. But yeah, no regrets at all. It got me to where I am today and like I couldn't be happier. ever.
Nice. Yeah. Nice, nice. Like, yeah, why study forestry? Like,
It's not about forestry, right? It's about like what it gets you.
Yeah. I get it. What is one thing under $100 that has been a game changer for you?
Yeah, my bicycle. In fact, it was one of the first things I bought when I moved to Vancouver that wasn't even planned. That made it even better. Yeah, but I got my bicycle off Marketplace and it cost $75. By the time I got it, it was at least a third-hand bike. Like, so at least two owners before me. And I still have it today. And it basically, like, it gets me around Vancouver really easily. Sometimes cycling is faster than taking public transport because no traffic, you know, and yeah, not having to wait for buses and all that. And it's also, like, taken me on a lot of bike adventures around Vancouver, which I found was one of the best ways to get to know the city. Walking is kind of slow. Like, you can't get, like, very far walking. Buses, you can't really, like, stop every single time, like, and it's just really slow. So yeah, biking has helped me to understand the city a lot better, and going on bike adventures with my friends as well has been like a big part of my social life. So yeah, for both functional, like commuting purposes, as well as like social purposes, and for financial reasons, it's free. Cycling everywhere.
Yeah, and you don't need a gym, right? You just immerse together.
Exactly. Yeah, you just, you know, achieve so many things with one little.
Yeah, you should be a regular on the show. Okay, last question. One place you learn that you think is underrated. It can be a book, a website, a YouTube channel, podcast.
Yeah, I think one place in general is definitely books. I feel like most people don't read books anymore.
So what is one book?
There is a book called The Organized Mind by Daniel Levitin, which I feel really changed my life, because he writes about when you organize your thoughts, it helps you to organize your life. And I feel like someone like me who's all about like efficiency and getting things done, I feel like it was very important. Like, sometimes I get caught in this like decision-making cycle, right? Where I'm like, oh, should I do this? Should I do this? And I'm like endlessly thinking.
Like, and, like lunch. Like during lunch earlier today.
I want duck rice. No, I want fish soup. Oh, I don't know. Oh, stress. I don't know what I
have. This is her second last meal here, is it? Before you're flying.
Yeah,
right?
True.
So
yeah,
I understand. So right?
It's thanks.
Fair point, right? Yeah. Because when I'm traveling, it's like, oh, Martin, I want to try new things, but I had a good thing 2 days ago. I want that also.
I get it. Limited stomach space.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think like that helped me to learn about, you know, how to organize my mind. Yeah, I feel like since then, like, it helped me to gain a lot more clarity in like my everyday life. And yeah, I've been like recommending that book to my friends all the time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Woo. Happy to be here.